This is Soulful Living on Empower Radio. Here's your host, Terry Williams.
Hey, wherever you are in the world today, I welcome you to another 30 minutes of Soulful Living here at Empower Radio. You know, I tell my clients that I feel like I'm a bridge between mysticism and media, and really look to provide practical tools to move through Earth, I guess, at this time. And my guest today, Maureen J. St. Germain, has been walking this mystical path for 25 years. In fact, she has been known as the practical mystic. And from a practicality standpoint, you know I love that, because I think that many people just need practical tools to move through the world, no matter what their level of spirituality is. We just need tools to move through this reality. And Maureen has written a beautiful book, a guide to help us step into moving through this reality with more joy, more love, more bliss. Of course, you know, I love that word, and a deeper connection to your soul. Her work, her newest book, is called Waking Up in 5D, A Practical Guide to Multidimensional Transformation. And I know I could not do it justice in sharing what's behind the work. So I welcome you to Soulful Living, Maureen.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's a real pleasure.
I'm so excited. I've been following your work off and on for years. And when your team reached out to me to have you on, it was an automatic yes. I mean, I didn't even have to think about it. I love your work. I love the pictures on the cover of your latest book. And most importantly, I love the message behind it. You know, you really want to include everybody in waking up with more joy and more love in their lives. So let's give them, just the listeners, just a brief history of how you came to this place of sharing this work.
My pleasure. First off, I want to give a shout out to Andre Balog, who is the artist that I hired for the book cover. I saw a couple of drafts of a book cover that my publisher wanted to use, and I thought, oh no, we can do better than that. And so I reached out to Andre and bought a design that he has, but it hasn't been used a lot. And his art is probably the most prolific art on the internet for sacred geometry. And I just love the cover too. I'm very, very pleased about it. So nice.
Yeah, you know, to get stuck on the cover, more so your work, but it's one of those that you could frame and deeply connect with to help you, I'm sure, in waking up, right?
That's right. So the way I came to this work is I have been traveling and teaching meditation and manifestation, all this based on sacred geometry, for all of the last 25 years. Mm-hmm. And my earlier books were follow-ups to the actual meditation work and the clearing work that I was teaching people. And I began to notice that things were happening that were a lot different than what we all thought was normal. And so I began tracking it. And I began to realize that we are all moving into this new environment. And the environment is so dramatically different from what we've been told and what we've come to believe that it deserves to be called a new game, which is one of the things that I say in the book. It's not the rules have changed. It's a brand new game. And the reason mm-hmm. it's a brand new game is because we are moving from a polarity-based world to a world that is based on love and choice. And because of that, you know, this everything's different, truly different.
Well, I agree with you 100%. And I love that you used the terminology of like a new environment. You know, we haven't really been here before. And it's refreshing to hear people come to it as a place of, you know, living in love and joy.
Yes.
Compassion, kindness.
Yeah. And the interesting thing is, once you adopt this posture, everything changes individually for a person. And they literally stop having experiences that they don't want. And that is very profound. You know, I've been living this way for such a long time that at first I didn't realize how I was magnetizing this. But then I began to notice that stuff was happening with me that didn't happen with other people. You know, a simple thing like calling downstairs from a hotel room and saying, you know, I thought we were on a no-smoking floor, but the guy next door is smoking, and we both have our lanai, doors open, and I wonder if there's anything that can be done. Not demanding, not complaining, but just saying, look, you know, my mom's really bothered by the smoke, and she wanted to make this a special birthday present to me. And they said, we'll just move you. He's been there all week. We can't go to him and say, you can't do that anymore. And I said, well, I'm not crazy about moving, but okay. Well, then they moved us to the executive floor. And we had such a fun time because there were so many amenities there that we wouldn't have gotten otherwise. And that's a classic example. It's not saying that you won't have things that you don't want, but a way of letting people know, gosh, this isn't working for me. What else can we do? It's very powerful.
One of my favorite paragraphs in the book is really all about that. I won't read the whole paragraph, but it starts with, you may have been taught to think and believe in a struggle, yet it's not. Things like keeping a gratitude, thanking God for everything, and you'll find that everything is solved easily and dissolved easily. And that is a perfect example of how coming from a place of, okay, it's just going to work out, as opposed to being demanding and abrasive and, letting your anger fly through, right?
Right.
Yeah, it's a perfect example.
And you'll notice, you know, my mom, for example, she's of the mindset that she wouldn't fuss. She would just find a way to put up with it, but I knew she was very bothered by it. Mm-hmm. And so it's also a place of saying, look, you know, you don't have to put up with stuff that doesn't please you, and you can speak up. And you also get to choose. And that's why I call it a place of love and choice.
So what is the fifth dimension? Let's give the listeners some history on that. What is the fifth dimension? And where are we at now?
Okay, so the backstory is, the fifth dimension is what all the traditional churches teach us is heaven. That's the easy definition. Mm. It is the place of a vibrational state that we are moving to. And practically everybody has been in the fifth dimension, even though they don't know it. And the proof is when you are looking for something that you put down recently and you cannot find, and a couple hours go by or a couple days go by, and you finally locate it in the exact place that you were looking for it, and now it's there when it wasn't there before.
Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh, how many times have we done that, right?
And that's because when you put it down, you were in fifth dimension. When you were looking for it, you were in third, so it wasn't visible. So it's a way to begin to understand that the vibrational levels are like a data set matched to Russian dolls. So like turning a radio dial, we are actually tuning to the vibration of unconditional love and goodwill towards all in such a way that everything else that used to be based on competition and biases and jealousy, those energies are not available in the fifth dimension. And so they don't cross your mind as possibilities. And so your energy vibration is so different that you're literally in a different location.
Well, and you know, one of my favorite quotes is energy follows intention. And I've been doing some research recently on Andean shamanic work and studying some things. And one of the chapters in there focuses on that coming to a place of non-competition. When you're going to climb to the mountain, climb together instead of worrying about who gets there first. And as I was working through waking up in 5D, that's what I kept coming back to, was there really doesn't need to be competition. Let's all arrive here together and experience that place of unconditional love and you know, relentless joy. Let's choose to live in that place.
Yeah, it's a wonderful experience to finally get it, that you don't have to keep score of everyone else's behavior.
Yeah, and we're all worthy of that, you know. We are all worthy of that, which you do, you know, talk about so much more in your book. So can anyone manifest a life that they want? Can anyone manifest living in joy and love? And
I think so. In fact, I feel like I do it every day. Now, you know, I wrote a book on manifestation called Be a Genie. And that's got tons of information on how sacred geometry plays into manifestation and how to use tools, because that's what I'm all about, to get mm-hmm. what you want. So certainly, you know, I wrote a commentary once about, well, why is a spiritual teacher teaching us how to manifest things? And my innuendo was, well, people first need to survive, and they need things. And once mm-hmm. once they get what they need, then they're ready to transform, and I've taught them the tools they need to do that in the process of getting them the things they think they need. So it's kind of like a trick to get people on board. So a life filled with joy is a decision, and it's a very interesting concept because we are faced with our own dramas and our own repair mission, if you will, of whatever we have that's broken in us, you know, in the moment, either from our childhood or from some recent affront. And it's all based on expectations and a sense of fair play. So as we heal those broken emotions and those broken parts of ourselves, we then no longer need to be watching the other guy and to make sure that they're not taking advantage of us, because we're so in love with ourselves because of our God connection, we don't need anyone else to validate us.
That's a beautiful way to walk through the world. And I look forward to the day that more and more people embrace that and make the choice to let go of that, you know, drama and the preconceived notions of what we've lived in society and in our environment. You know, you have referenced twice now sacred geometry. What should people know about that? What do you want people to know about sacred geometry, and what is it?
Well, the original concepts of sacred geometry came out of a man who wrote a book on geometry and pointed to the fact that it was found everywhere in nature and in physical structures like the pyramids in Egypt, and the symmetry between the planets. And it's based on some mathematical principles that come out of these ideas of the five Platonic solids. And we all know a primary one, which is the cube. Or it's based on the square, and then it's a, you know, three-dimensional would be a cube. Or the tetrahedron, most people know, because it's a three-sided pyramid with a base. So those are the two. Those are the two that are most familiar. And then the other Platonic solids, it turns out there are only five that fit this category of Platonic solids, and they follow three simple rules. They all have the same angle, they all have the same size face, and they can all inscribe a sphere. So with that set of parameters, you can make all the DNA match, you can make the chemical periodic table match the sacred geometry. And so as mystics and mathematicians and scientists started, you know, crossing over into each other's territory, they began to see the symmetry and the order found throughout the universe. Where originally we would have labeled it chaotic, we're now seeing order that has been the underlying or implicate order. That order drives everything. So the benefit of playing with sacred geometry, reading about it, finding a coloring book to color, is that we imprint our brains with the original divine templates. And that makes it much easier to step into our power and to step into our own divine matrix. And, you know, just like the movie The Matrix, everybody inside the matrix was credulous that they were in a matrix. And at the same time, we can sit and say, yeah, but we're doing the same thing in real life. You know, we're living according to what someone else says we're capable of or that we think we want to do. And when we discover how we can really pick what we want, that choice part, and that the sacred geometry will help us because it gives us divine templates that are so tangible that it's like, we've come home. And so I tell people, just look at sacred geometry anywhere or everywhere. Mm-hmm. And it will start to change you, and you will have more calmness. You will have more peace of mind. You know, I'm thinking of a book that Endre participated in, written by another author, but he did all the photographs in it and all the sacred geometry in it. It's also out there as a product that people can buy. And he's also got a website that's got, you know, probably thousands of sacred geometry. And you see his art everywhere. I think it's the most pirated art anywhere. It's quite incredible. And you know, this is a man who started doing this after his 11-year-old was killed in a very freak accident.
Mm.
And he lost his only son. He had three daughters, but only one son. And so, you know, people who, you know, are down in the dumps about some drama that they're worked up about, as they decide to look at their life and cherry pick all the good stuff that did happen and focus on that, the universe will give them more of that. And there's a mathematical principle behind it. And that's found in another book that I wrote called Be a Genie. So What happened to me is that as I began to really, this was like mother's milk to me. I remember being in high school geometry and I could have slept through the class and still aced it. I probably was in the Pythagorean school in another lifetime. I don't know. But the idea of the symmetry and order was so ingrained in me that when I was in music school, I aced the final exam for theory, which was analyzing this huge Beethoven symphony. And, you know, I couldn't compete. There were women or girls in my college that could play the piano like nobody's business. And I failed piano in music school. I was that bad. But I aced the theory exam that included the piano exam because everyone else failed it and they had to curve the test. But I could see the numbers in the music. And it still astounds me to this day, you know, that I actually pulled a B in that course because I got a perfect score plus all the bonus points. So I had to do something.
Right. It balanced out for you, thank God, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I remember my piano exam, just, you know, as a side story, it was so funny because you have to sight read a piece of music, a treble line, and then you add the part you're going to play with your left hand or the bass. And I did a really good job. And the examiner said to me, can you play that any faster? And I looked at her and I said, you just got the performance of my life. If I try to do this again, I know it won't be as good. And she said, well, I'm going to have to fail you then. And I said, I'm telling you, I did the best I have ever done, ever.
And I'm in the future, I'm sticking with mysticism, that's for sure.
Well, you know, back then, who knows what you're going to major in, but certainly the mathematics and music, you know, it's a known fact that music and mathematicians are very complementary fields, and that a lot of kids who do well in math are also musicians and vice versa. Mm-hmm. So there is definitely a correlation. And the mathematics in beautiful music, either from the classics or modern music that's got, you know, the math in it, it's so pleasing. In fact, they've even done studies with the sacred geometry where they take the perfect relationship between the body and the bones, which is called phi. And so the length between your little finger and your knuckles is 1, and then from the knuckles to the wrist is 1.618, which is phi. And then you can expand that, and the length between your hand and your wrist to your elbow is also in phi. And so there's tons of places all over the body that's in phi. And then you add to that how plants grow, and they grow in phi. And then you mm-hmm. look at the solar system, and you see that there's the relationship between Mercury and Mars, Mercury and Venus and the Sun, and the Earth, rather. And that's in phi as well. So you start to look around, and it's everywhere. Mm-hmm. And so when we tune to what I call source code, we're aligned.
I love that, source code. I love that.
We are aligned with the universe.
And it's so true that it's all geometrically designed. Yeah, you know, even fractals. You know, my husband's a photographer, and he and I will be out in nature, and he really was the first one to bring my awareness to that when he, you know, talked about the golden rule and the fractals. And it's really amazing how it all connects and comes back to that source code. I love that terminology.
Yeah, so that's what I call phi in nature. I call it source code. Really think that's where we're pulling it from. And the thing is, it's a very interesting concept, but it allows for everything to move in both directions, because whether you're moving forward or backwards, whether you're moving with direct advancing or retreating, phi is the only division of one that produces itself in both directions.
Okay, so we've got about 5 minutes left, and I really want to ask you this. When someone finally chooses that this is the way that they want to live and that they're going to become more consciously aware, right, of the source code, of having the choice to wake up in fifth dimension on a regular basis, what do they have to do to get there? I know that the book addresses these steps so beautifully, but what's the first thing that they need to do to get there?
I recommend that they start their day with a short prayer. I am asking for a day of heaven on earth for me and everyone I come in contact with.
Oh my God, that's beautiful.
It's so fantastic because it just locks down everything into 5D. And then when you go to bed at night, you can say, I am waking up in 5D. And that also, you know, confirms your clear intention. But I began using that prayer so long ago based on something that happened. And again, for me, it was like an accidental discovery, because I was in an environment where I asked, how come this happened? How come this happened? And I was told, well, you asked for a day of heaven on earth. And I went, oh my gosh, that is so cool. Next time I have a really heavy duty day, I'm going to ask again. The second time I asked, I thought, I'm not waiting for a heavy duty day. I'm asking every day.
I love that. And who doesn't want that, right? I mean, who does not want to wake up with heaven on earth? I have not used that particular prayer or wake up motto, mantra. However, I am going to use it every day from here on out. I think it's absolutely beautiful. Listeners, I've been chatting with Maureen St. Germain. You can find all of her information here on the Soulful Living page and Empower Radio. Mainly, we've been talking about her work, Waking Up in 5D, and her book is all about Waking Up in 5D, A Practical Guide to Multidimensional Transformation. Some of what we've covered today is really about a choice and making that choice to walk in love, to be in love, to experience heaven on earth. And Maureen, I can't thank you enough for being here. I feel like we need to do this again and again so that we can give the listeners more information and really empower them. But as we close, I would love for you to share that prayer and the nightly prayer one more time for everybody.
So you start out your morning with, I am asking for a day of heaven on earth for me and everyone I'm coming in contact with. You could also say it for everyone I'm in contract with, because that might include people like your webmaster or somebody that you're not going to talk to today, but now you've added given him a day of heaven on earth also. And then the evening prayer is when you climb in bed to say, I am waking up in 5D.
I love that. Well, thank you so much for joining me here today, Maureen. I really appreciate it. I love the book. I love what I'm getting out of it, and really appreciate you.
Thank you. And thank you for having me. It's been a real pleasure. And I agree. Let's do this again.